I promise on my honor to be faithful and loyal to Ghana, my motherland. I pledge myself to the service of Ghana with all my strength and with all my heart. I promise to hold in high esteem our heritage won for us through the blood and toil of our fathers. And I pledge myself in all things to uphold and defend the good name of Ghana, so help me God.
The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Jonathan Thompson. In the headlines, curfew imposed on Hohoi following clashes between Muslim youth and some residents. Ministry of Employment and Social Welfare poised to eliminate child labor as Ghana joins the international community to mark the day. European Development Fund supports Dodi Papaso in Kwanta Road.
Radio Ghana, the ultimate news reference. We are reliable. The world listens to our voice.
Hohoi and its environs. This follows clashes between the Muslim community and some residents that led to the death of three persons. The Volta Regional Minister Henry Ford Kamel, who confirmed this to Radio Ghana, said the action has become necessary due to reports that people are massing up for a possible reprisal. He said the curfew will be in force for 4 days and a possible review when it elapses. Mr. Kamel said there is now calm and security has been beefed up to avert possible clashes. He spoke on Radio Ghana's Current Affairs program, Behind the News.
RegSec, and after an assessment of the situation, we realized that they have to request for a curfew in Hohoi, because the intelligence information we were receiving indicated that supporters of both factions were massing up and there was a possible attack, maybe somewhere in the night. And so we thought that for the military and the police to have full control of the situation in Hohoi, there was a need to apply for a curfew. So we applied to the Minister for Interior and he gracefully assented to our request based on the recommendations that we made to him.
And how long is the curfew going to last?
For now, it's for a period of about just 4 days, and then we'll review the situation when the period expires, and when we realize that there's still a need for an extension, we will apply for an extension. If we realize that it's no more necessary, we will take it from there. But right now, the situation is calm, happy. The security forces have taken full control. People are beginning to realize that RegSec and government is in control of the situation. People are beginning to realize that they must respect law and order. People are beginning to have confidence in the structures that are in place to resolve the issue. And so we are happy to report that for now, there's calm.
Early on, it was a chieftaincy issue at Pasa. Yesterday, it was Ho, and now Hohoi, you seem to be confronted with security issues. How are you handling it?
It's not so much of a chieftaincy issue. Yes, the Pasa one borders on chieftaincy. In Hohoi, it borders on authority. It borders on authority and the extent to which indigenous authority should operate and function. It's not who should become a chief in Hohoi. That is not the issue. The issue is that the indigenous feel that their authority as landowners has not been respected. But for now, our priority is to establish law and order. We will come to this issue when we have consolidated our authority on establishing security in the area. We will come to the peripherals, we'll come to the assistance, and then we will try to see how we can get along with some of these issues. But for now, our priority is to establish law and order.
Volta Regional Minister Henry Ford Kamel. Meanwhile, a program officer at the CDD, Paul Abrampa, has attributed the recent clashes in some regions to inactions by the authorities in previous cases. Speaking on Behind the News, Mr. Abrampa said in order to avert future clashes, the law must be applied to all without favor.
There are a whole lot of issues that have come up since 2009, and then even before that, various reports, even the lead up to the 2008 elections indicated as the police administration marked out almost about 100 districts or constituencies that were tagged as conflict prone. Kofi Annan International Peacekeeping Training Center and the CDD Ghana in our conflict monitoring also were able to mark out about 60 constituencies that that border that was tagged as conflict-prone constituency. When you look into the criteria used in tagging constituencies or districts, some of these issues were in it. 6 tenancy plus, lingered conflicts between tribes from different places, especially people who have migrated, call them internal migration, migrated from one region to the other, and also people who are fleeing from conflict areas. So these things have been there, and they are sometimes, I like the words that people use, the idea increased, and the question is ask ourselves, why this time? That's the problem that we have to get ourselves for in the lead up to the 2012 elections.
So what can be done to prevent such clashes?
Well, the first thing that we say, when you look into the Constitution, and even the nature of human beings, the people, there are problems everywhere. That is why we have in place institutions. That's why everybody, people who have read conflict and the theories of conflict, talk about strong institutions and application of the rules. When you look into the issues that have cropped up in the elections and after the two elections, people seeing bungalows, people sacking DCs, people killing, even at the murder of 3 people at Abugurishi, you don't see any action, serious action that have been taken. In cases like that, people think it is free because there are no stringent or punishment for people who engage themselves into conflict.
Program Officer of the CDD, Paul Abamba. The General Officer of the Northern Command, Brigadier General Richard Opokwiduse, has confirmed that the gunshot directed at the Chief of War, Nasi Dupelpo, a few weeks ago, was not accidental but a calculated attempt by the assailant. He said an assessment at the scene of the incident has revealed that a fellow that carried out the act has a level of training in the handling of guns, considering the angle and the direction from which the shot was fired. Brigadier General Opokwiduse said this when he paid a courtesy call on the regional minister Alhaji Amidu Suleimana in Wa. Correspondent William Owusu-Boateng has sent this report.
An attempt was made on the life of the Chief of Wa, Na Sei Dupelpo, when he showed up at a social gathering following a ruling by the Regional House of Chiefs in his favor. The commotion saw the death of one person who he said to have shielded the gunshot from reaching the chief. A number of suspects, including a military officer, have been arrested for investigations. Brigadier General Opokwiduse expressed concern over the random nature of conflicts that have swept through the entire 3 regions of the north within some few days. The situation, he said, calls for the re-strategizing of the command for it to remain ahead of the security concerns of the region. Brigadier General Opokwiduse commended the Upper West Regional Security Council for the strict manner in which they responded to the Wa chieftaincy confusion. The regional minister, Alhaji Amidu Suleimana, commended the good working relations that exist among the security agencies in the regions. Especially the military and the police. He said, although the police and the military have different mandates, their sense of togetherness has contributed to the total peace of the region. Alhaji Suleimana said, the commotion that seems to be engulfing the nation during the election season justifies the need for the security agencies to be equipped with the needed logistics, such as patrol vehicles, to enable them step up security.
William Owusu-Boateng's report. Today is World Day Against Child Labor. The day was launched by the International Labor Organization in 2002 as part of the global advocacy to highlight the rights of children in hard labor and serve as a catalyst for the growing worldwide movement against the trend. A statement issued by the Ministry of Employment and Social Welfare and signed by the Sector Minister Moses Asaga outlined activities to mark the day, which include a media launch, children's panel discussion, and a forum today on Ghana's achievements, challenges, and prospects on child labor interventions since 2000. There will also be a What Do You Know contest for senior high schools. Ghana joins the international community to mark World Day Against Child Labor today. This year will focus on human rights and social justice. Speaking to Radio Ghana, an officer at Child Labor Unit of the Ministry of Employment and Social Welfare, Mrs. Elizabeth Akambumbri, said her ministry is poised to eliminate all forms of child labor.
Child labor is any work done by any person below the age of 18, which is injurious to the person's health, deprives the person of his education, and also hampers the group, the general group of the person.
You talk about various forms of child labor, the worst forms of it, and hazardous child labor. What are these?
Yeah, when we say something is hazardous, we mean there are hazards associated to it. And when a child is engaged in any work that is hazardous, the child could be hurt by the work. And for instance, if it is fishing, if a child should go on the sea, the adult child think differently, and the child could drown if the child has to disentangle it under the water.
And the worst form of it?
The worst form of it is when it is unconditional, when it is hazardous, and the child would be deprived from education, and it can also harm the health.
Then under what conditions can one employ the services of a boy or child as a house help?
Under the Children's Act, and even the ILO Convention 138, at age 15, a child can be legally employed. And it is at age 15 because we assume that by age 15, the person should have completed the basic school. And if for one reason or the other, the child is not able to continue, the child can work. But the child works at supervision. And that work, that is not hazardous and will not harm the child. Under those conditions, a child can work.
Elizabeth Akambombiri of the Child Labor Unit of the Ministry of Employment and Social Welfare. The media have been challenged to highlight women issues and give equal attention to them to contribute to the politics of the country. This will also help improve their underrepresentation in politics. Speaking to journalists in Accra, the Resource Mobilization and Communication Manager of FIDA, Susan Aiti, who made this known, said it is time. Women are encouraged to play leading roles since they form 52% of the population. She said as elections draw closer, women must take it upon themselves to win more than the 19 seats they currently occupy in parliament. Malko Fiyayajiman has the rest of the story.
Abantu for Development, the Women in Broadcasting, and the Frederick Ebert Foundation are some of the groups that are rallying behind women to fight for equal rights in the country. These groups over the years have organized programs for women to sensitize and equip them so they become confident to aspire for leading roles. For this month, the groups are focusing on increasing women's participation in election 2012, the role of the media. During the period, they will engage the media in achieving this goal. The resource Mobilization and Communications Manager of FIDA, Suzanne Ayite, noted that the media are a strong force in shaping public opinion and they should highlight positive things women do. She said women who want to be in politics should also be given the publicity by the media so they can sell themselves to the public.
Now, the media represents a very important force. The challenges identified by women seeking to run for public office or who are in decision-making positions now, they concede that low media coverage of their activities and occasional media hostility are some of the major barriers facing them as candidates or as female MPs. Men are always in the forefront. Negative images of women are common in the media. These act as a barrier to progress because when the media shows these portrayals, the reality of women as rational and intelligent leaders is not shown to the public. So notions that women do not belong in politics are reflected by the media's low coverage with regard to female candidates and issues.
Mrs. Aiti says stories on politics are more male-dominated, creating an imbalance between women and men. She asks that the media stop stereotyping women negatively and push the agenda forward. The executive director of Women in Broadcasting, Sarah Kofi Kwaku, said there is the urgent need for the media to continue promoting women's rights and gender equality in elections 2012. She said many women are willing to go into politics but are discouraged by men.
We believe that we need to interrogate
the protesters had to locate women at disadvantaged positions, positions that keep them out of the processes of development. And our particular interest is on the electoral processes that we want to address to ensure equal participation of men and women in the realization of their rights as equal citizens of this country.
Madam Akufo Kwaku noted that women should strive hard to make an impact during the forthcoming elections.
That was Marco Fiahe Achiman's report. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana Accra, the major stories. Curfew imposed on Hohoi following clashes between Muslim youth and some residents. Ministry of Employment and Social Welfare poised to eliminate child labor as Ghana joins the international community to mark the day. European Development Fund supports Dodi Papasu in Kwanta Road construction with 25 million euros. Armed robbers killed 27 people in northern Nigerian villages in reprisal attacks, and children in Syria accused troops of using them as human shields. Please stay tuned.
Radio Ghana, the ultimate news reference. We are reliable. The world listens to our voice.
Welcome back. 5,000 persons living with disability are to benefit from free training in ICT across the country. The program is a collaboration between government and RLG Communications, a Ghanaian-owned company. The initial 5,000 persons will be equipped with skills in information technology, computer repairs and assembly, as well as mobile phone repairs. Trainees will be entitled to weekly allowance to facilitate their movement to the training centers. Vice President John Mahama, who inaugurated the project, called on the private sector to diversify their training models to benefit the disabled. Pascal Nyadadevo reports.
In order to give meaning to the saying that disability is not inability, RLG Communications and government have developed this program to equip the less privileged ones with skills to make them independent and subsequently take them off the streets. It is estimated that about 4 million people live with various forms of disability in the country. The project is targeting about 20,000 disabled persons before the end of the year. Former Minister of Employment and Social Welfare E.T. Mensah was commended for being the brainchild of the project, whose memorandum received unanimous cabinet approval. Government is supporting the project with 19 million Ghana cedis, whilst RLG is providing counterpart funding of 2 million Ghana cedis. 52 centers across the country have been earmarked for the training. Accra has two centers, one in Dansoman and the other at the Accra Rehabilitation Center. What is unique about this project is that the trainees will be given weekly allowances to facilitate their movement to the training centers. The Vice President John Mahama described the behavior of those who relegate the physically challenged to the background as illegal, unacceptable, and immoral. He said government has the welfare of the disabled at heart, and it is for this reason that it is reviewing the procurement law and the local content bill to favor the domestic private sector, who in one way or the other will push the agenda of the disabled.
We need to change the kind of training we give persons with disability, and that is why government considered and said, look, we are in a modern age where ICT and mobile phones and other instruments of communication technology have become popular. And so we should diversify the training we give to our persons living with disability by including a module for ICT training. I'm calling on our technocrats. You don't need the laws to favor Ghanaian businessmen. And I wish to appeal to them. You don't need to wait for legislation. If a Ghanaian company can do the job, give it to the Ghanaian company. It is only when we have this sense of nationalism that we can make our country move forward.
Roland Agambere is the chief executive officer of RLG Communications. He has been working for the past 10 years to ensure that at least 30% of the youth in this country have decent jobs to do. Mr. Gambere says his soul will never rest until his dream of creating 1 million jobs is fulfilled. He also hints of the building of a technology city to employ more people.
I think everybody here can attest to the fact that after 6 months, many lives will be touched through this innovative social intervention program by the partnership in this project. We need to give our people decent jobs, taking home good salaries, and being able to create and give back to our families. We want to take the lead in seeing all the 5,000 people with sustainable jobs, livelihoods in this 100 million job multi-purpose project to all persons with disabilities. I personally believe in you guys, and I always encourage all of you to show patriotism and dedication towards this project to enable the large number of oversubscribed candidates.
It is expected that graduates from the training will become entrepreneurs, technicians, salespersons, engineers, and instructors at the 52 resource centers across the country. For Radio Ghana, Pascalina Dadevu, Accra.
The Deputy Minister of Finance and Economic Planning, Fifi Kweti, has reiterated the need for individuals to cultivate the habit of saving in order to secure a better future. According to him, prudent management of finances today is a guarantee to a comfortable life in the future, which will trickle down to a sustainable growth in the economy. Mr. Kweti made these remarks at the official opening of the third edition of the Financial Literacy Week in Accra. He said government instituted the financial literacy program to raise awareness for individuals to better understand and manage their finances. Mercy Darko reports.
This year's financial literacy program is themed Financial Literacy, Creating Wealth and Financial Stability. It attracted people from both the formal and informal sectors of the business community. Mr. Kweti noted that as the economy continues to expand, there is a need for all stakeholders to make informed choices towards managing their finances.
One of the most important and prudent lessons we can learn in life is how to achieve financial security. This becomes more important as the economy continues to expand and the range of financial services increase. And there's therefore the need to acquire the necessary and appropriate knowledge in order to make financial decisions in an informed manner. The first part of the journey must start with the culture of saving. And that culture of saving must literally ignite in every single one of us. But it takes a certain understanding to know that even with the little that we have, we can put it away for the better. Until our saving culture improves, we are not likely to be able to accelerate our pace of transformation and the growth of our economy. Because it's not so much the amount of income you earn that makes a difference, it's the amount of savings you are able to make out of your income that makes you wealthy. The fact that we continue to constantly take our personal finances for granted is the reason why too many of us will continue to be begging. Because no matter what you earn, if we don't make effort towards saving for tomorrow, no matter how much income you earn for your lifetime, tomorrow you are definitely going to be penury. You are going to be dependent on the good-hearted nature of other people to be able to survive.
The Insurance Commissioner, Nyamike Chiama, calls for a national strategy to improve the level of financial literacy.
That was a report by Mercy Darko. Hitches encountered in the transportation of goods on the Dodipapaso in Kwanta Road to parts of the country will soon be over following the signing of a contract for its construction. The highway forms part of the Eastern Corridor Road. The 46.4-kilometer stretch, which is located in the Volta region, is being funded by the European Development Fund at 25 million euros. At the signing ceremony in Accra, the Minister of Roads and Highways, Joe Gidisu, said the completion of the project will put to rest the perennial problem of vehicles getting stuck in the mud, especially during the rainy season. Naja Gliago and Victoria Haji has filed this report.
The project, which will be undertaken by a Burkinabe company, Enterprise Umaru Kanazoi, is expected to be completed in 18 months. Mr. Gidisu noted that two sections of the Eastern Corridor, namely Esikuma Hohoi and Nkwanta Oti Dumako, are already under construction. He said work on the Dodipapaso Nkwanta Road will include a two-lane carriageway, drainage structures, and laybys in specific towns and villages to facilitate public transport and passenger safety along the road. Mr. Joe Gidisu urged residents to cooperate with contractors since some inconveniences may occur in the area in the course of their work.
Most often, when contract works are ongoing, there are some mysterious workers of the companies who may try to divert materials meant for works on those roads. If you buy a stolen bag of cement, know that you are going to decrease the quality of work by buying either a bag of cement or an iron rod. I just want to appeal to our chiefs and people in the area to help support the work that the contractors are coming to do by seriously sensitizing their people to be watchdogs so that we'll be able to preserve the materials that people are going to use on the road.
Mr. Gidisu urged the contractor to consider the project a priority, deliver quality work and speed up in order to finish within the stipulated time. Ambassador Claude Martin is the head of the EU delegation to Ghana.
With the Eastern Corridor and the signature of this contract, it is again the testimony of the presence of Europe in Ghana and the testimony of our common understanding that bring prosperity to the country. It is important to have a good level of infrastructure. We are also giving support, multi-donor budget support, and in that area also there are two indicators related to transport, axle load and road maintenance.
The contractor of the project, Jibril Kanazoi, pledged to complete the project within the stipulated time.
Naja Bliago and Victoria Haji filed that report. The Circuit Court in Accra has acquitted and discharged Amina Mohammed, who was at the center of the infamous highway robbery and mass rape on board a Yutong bus. The judge, Justice Patience Milsetter, sustained a submission of no case put up by the defense after the close of case by the prosecution. She indicated in her ruling that the prosecution failed to prove the burden of guilt. According to the court, the prosecution failed to establish that Amina, a mother of three, had intention to obstruct justice by providing a false name, and that her interview on Adum FM, a Tema-based radio station, caused fear and panic in the country. Correspondent Amasewa Bidiakun has filed this report.
Amina was charged with publication of false news with the intent to cause fear and panic, as well as deceit of a public officer. She pleaded not guilty to the charges. The Attorney General's Department, which prosecuted the case, had the responsibility to prove the elements inherent in the case. But after calling in 8 witnesses who corroborated the story of an attempted robbery on the date in question, the prosecution failed to establish a prima facie case against Amina, for which she would have been called to enter her defense. At the close of the prosecution's case, defense lawyers Professor Ken Atefa and Andy Apiakubi submitted that there was no case for Amina to answer. The submission was subsequently ruled on and upheld by the court. Justice Mills Tete said Amina is not a media person and cannot be blamed for the circulation of the story, since she had no gadgets to reproduce the interview she granted Adam FM.
Amasewa Bidiakun filed that report. A gang of armed robbers has killed 27 people in remote villages in northern Nigeria. An eyewitness told newsmen that about 80 people on motorbikes attacked the villages of Dangobi and Guru in Zamfara State. According to reports, some victims had their throats cut. The attack is believed to be in revenge for the killing of a suspected group of armed robbers by villagers and vigilante groups last year. And a UN report says children in Syria have accused troops of putting them on tanks and using them as human shields. The report quoted some children as saying they had been forced to ride on tanks to stop attacks by opposition fighters. The UN Special Representative for Children and Armed Conflict, Radhika Kumaraswamy, said children were being tortured in detention and slaughtered in massacres. She said it was unusual because children were not spared and even targeted in a conflict. She said the UN also had testimonies and saw children who had been tortured and who carried the torture marks with them. She, however, criticized the opposition Free Syrian Army for endangering children by recruiting them as frontline. The Ministry for the Interior has imposed a curfew on Hohoi and its environs. This follows clashes between the Muslim community and some residents that led to the death of 3 persons. And now to end the news, the main points again. Ministry of Employment and Social Welfare poised to eliminate child labor as Ghana joins the international community to mark the day. And children in Syria accuse troops of using them as human shields. The news was presented by Jonathan Thompson in Accra.